It's my pleasure to introduce to you, although many of you already know him, David Krentel. And as you know, he has been upstairs on the third floor doing a lot with the English ministry. And today he'll give a little snapshot of what we do there in the context of his Christmas message. So let's welcome David.
First of all, I want to thank the musicians. I think they left already, but they did a very good job. That was good music. And understand that last night the choir sang excellently to a full house, and that's a good Christmas tradition, and we're happy to be part of that. I just want to introduce part of the English ministry team. Michael, as you know, just finished leading us in worship, and faithfully, every Sunday, he leads us in worship and coordinates and fills in the spots, and oftentimes I forget. And Mike, thanks so much, and Amos, thank you for playing this morning. We appreciate it. Mike comes early and helps us with that. Then on Friday night, we have a little ministry going with some high school students, and Jeffrey, if you'd stand up, Jeffrey's helping me out there, and that Michael comes too, and these guys have, Jeffrey, yeah, he's stiff, I think. It's hard for him to stand up. But we're also thankful that on Sunday mornings we have some other helpers. Gloria is helping, and Tommy is helping, and Whiting is helping. If you have these folks, just stand up and please give them a hand for assistance with some of your children and the future of this church, all right? Now, we are going to, somebody's giving, what do you want? Children, if you want to leave us, but you will miss a great service. But all the children, Gerald, don't be going, you're not a child, you can't go. All the children, if you want to leave, you may leave now. Now, what we want to do for you this morning is kind of bring you up to the third floor and let you see what we do on the third floor.
Okay, 今天我们要特别有比较特殊的方式，我们现在要带大家好像进入我们平常在三楼上所做的事。
And one of the things we do every Sunday morning to try to interact with the group is we do something kind of crazy. It's called DQ and BQ.
我们每个礼拜天在上面，我们做了一种特别的形式，一种叫做 DQ，一种叫做
And I'm going to ask Jonathan and Venus to come up because they're in charge of DQ and BQ. DQ stands for Dave's questions.
现在有两位，一位要来问大卫牧师他平常问的问题，另外一位要做 BQ.
And BQ stands for Bible questions, and these are questions from the Bible.
另外一位是要来问圣经上的问题。
Oh, come on up. Here he is right here. And come on up, V. And Jonathan is in charge of the DQ. And every week he chooses somebody to ask the questions. But this week it's his turn to, he's got to come up with the questions.
现在Jonathan要问几个问题。
All right, stand up here. Now the questions, now first of all, these are questions for the adults. None of the young people are allowed to answer. So if you are over 25. Now, if there's nobody that answers these questions, guess who has to answer them?
Pastor King.
All right.
Okay. What happened to North Korea?
Somebody raise your hand.
Okay.
Oh. Does anyone know?
Yes.
Can you repeat that? Louder, so everyone can hear.
The former leader was passed.
And what's his name?
Jim something. That's pretty good.
Okay, who replaced him? Who replaced him?
Who replaised him?
His son.
Raise your hand.
Can't answer.
James
Jung-hee.
His son.
Yes, his son. Ask King, do you know his son's name?
Jin Zhenyu.
Good, very good. Give yourself a good job.
Last Saturday on the 18th, wait, not Saturday, but on the 18th, what movement did the U.S. military make?
上个周末18号到底美国的军人做了一些什么样的一个大行动？举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举手。举
Yeah. So give him a hand every week. Now, Venus is in charge of the theological questions, the Bible questions. And now we get to see how smart you all are. You're very smart about current events, and now let's see about the Bible.
Okay, Venus, you always send you the one.
So, this is all Christmas themed. So, what did King Herod do when he found out that a new king of Jews was going to be born?
He has not people to find him, so he said he can go and worship him.
No. He told the magi that, but what did he really want to do with the newborn?
Tough judge.
Oh, yeah.
You want to kill, not he will kill him.
Yeah. Okay, so after, like, during this time, what did God tell Joseph to do?
Marry her, don't worry.
When King Herod was like, kill all the firstborn, what did God tell Joseph to do? Move where?
Okay, good.
And then when the Magi, you know the Magi that visited King Herod, they went to visit Jesus after that. What did they do to him?
有学问的几个人，他们来找耶稣，那他们做了什么？
You can be very broad about this. It doesn't have to be specific. Yes. And what else did they do? After presents, what did they do?
They
got. Yeah, they worshiped him. Good job.
Let's give these guys a hand. Just a couple of things. I think it's very, very interesting that Herod was probably, by the time Jesus was born, he was in the last stages of syphilitic dementia. And he was mad. He was definitely mad at this point. He had purchased the right to be king of the Jews 3 times. It cost him about $5 million of gold. 3 times. And he had backed the wrong people, Anthony, Cleopatra, Brutus, Cassius, Herod the Great was all, he was involved with those people. And so when he heard that there was one who had been born king of the Jews, it flipped him out mentally. All right, do you want to summarize?
Yes. 所以他说希律王知道耶稣要生的时候，他非常的就感觉好像 很不安稳，然后非常的焦虑，因为而且他也在他买了
三次做犹太人王的权利，甚至不惜砸下很多的钱，然后他就是要成为犹太人的王。所以他知道耶稣要生了，他就非常的紧张。
All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, you can follow along in the text as we watch this DVD.
我们现在要讲马太福音第一章，差不多24节的地方。
Thank you.
We've been watching that every last couple of Sundays, and we're going to go through the book of Matthew this way. Somehow the sound of the speaker we could not hear, but you could see the words, and I hope you could see the words in the text.
算是有声书已经一阵子了。那刚刚因为不知道为什么声音讲话的声音出不来，但是上面有字幕，希望你们都能够跟着刚刚。Now
we have a few cast of people who come to us right out of Matthew and Luke, and they're going to be interviewed up here at EBCC Church in Teaneck, New Jersey. All right.
现在有一群人，他们要上来，然后被访问。
We have a shepherd, we have Zacharias, we have Mary, and we have Joseph. Joseph's sitting next to Mary, and we may need one more chair. And we have a translator from the Hebrew and Greek into Chinese, so we've got it all here.
So we have 牧羊人, 有玛利亚跟约瑟,
Excuse me. News reporter. Well, it's glad to have you here this morning. Why don't we just go around our circle and introduce yourselves, who you are in real life and who you pretend to be today, all right?
My real name is Teresa.
My name is Teresa, but I'm pretending to be Mary.
All right.
I'm Jonathan. I'm not pretending to be Joseph, but I'm going to be talking about Joseph.
I'm Enoch, and I'm just going to be talking about shepherds.
I'm Gloria, I'll be
I'm Gerald, and I'm going to be Zachariah.
All right, good. All right, you need the mic. All right, we want to begin sort of chronologically. There were 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew. 400 years in which God did not speak. And all of a sudden, he came and he announced the birth of two pretty fantastic babies to two couples, one old and one young. We're pleased to have you here, Zachariah, this morning.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about who you are and what happened to you as you were serving the Lord.
I am a priest in a priestly order, and you may know my wife Elizabeth and
we've heard of her, yes.
And my son John.
Yes.
And as a priest, my job is to work in the sanctuary, and one day I was picked to be selected to burn incense in the sanctuary, and it was quite an honor, one of the happiest days of my life.
What does that mean? Does every priest get to do that, or how does that happen?
No. What happens is your order is selected, and then afterwards...
Sort of happens, eh? It sort of falls out.
And then afterwards, but I was chosen by lots, and so the Lord selected me. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Some people never get a chance to serve in the sanctuary. So yes, this is very, very unique.
I understand that when priests go into the sanctuary, they have bells on the bottom of their priestly garments, and they have a rope tied around their leg.
That is correct.
Why is that?
The sanctuary is a very, very holy place. Not anyone can just enter. There are rituals that we have to do, sacrifices that need to be done in order for anyone to go in. When I went in there, I had bells and a rope tied on my leg so that if something wasn't done right, if I wasn't right before God, if something was impure, His holiness would have killed me. And they would have used the rope to pull me out.
Wow. That's pretty scary. Yeah. Now tell me, what happened when you were in there burning the incense?
So I was selected that day, and I remember everything very clearly. As I entered the sanctuary, performing my duties carefully, all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appeared to me. And I was so scared. I thought, maybe I did something wrong. Maybe there was some sin I haven't confessed. Maybe I performed the sacrifices incorrectly. I thought I was going to die. But the angel comforted me. He told me his name. He said he was the angel Gabriel. And he shared with me an amazing, amazing story of how I was going to have a son named John. At first, I didn't believe him because, as you can see, I am very, very old. And my wife, Elizabeth, was also very, very old. And we thought, this is impossible. How are we going to have a child? And in my unbelief, the angel made me mute. I couldn't speak for months until what he said all came true.
So really, at the beginning, you did not believe. Is that right?
That is true. I was in my fear. I had doubt.
Now that's very interesting, Zacharias, if you don't mind if I ask a follow-up question. You're a righteous man, you're a priest, you give your whole life to God, and yet you didn't believe. Can you explain that a little bit?
I have studied the scriptures for so long. Sometimes it could just be, sometimes it seems just like information to me.
Right.
And it, in my heart, I didn't truly, truly believe. It was not until the angel appeared and he spoke to me and he made me mute that I realized this was real, this is true.
Do you think there's a lesson for me? I'm a little younger than you are, Zacharias.
It's okay, young lad.
Do you think there's a lesson for us that maybe some of us can walk with the Lord for a long time and then we get to a point where we stop, we don't believe where God's going to take us next?
It's true. For a long time, I thought, this is going to be my life. I'm going to be a priest and perform my duties until the day I die. But even in my old age, God has other plans. Yes, I believe that He has plans for all of us, regardless of our age, young or old.
Thank you very much, Zacharias. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, 那我现在要翻译了。 Yeah, 所以刚刚 David,
it turned on.
It's not working.
Oh,
it's working. Okay. 所以刚刚 记者就在问撒加利亚说，关于他的身世背景，先问了一下，我想大家都知道。然后他就问他说，当时。 他进去殿里面烧香，然后天使向他显现的情况是怎么样？然后撒加利亚就说，他在殿里面的时候，因为他是按照祭司的规矩是直签，然后抽到他进去跟去神的殿里面烧香。然后他在里面遇到天使，那他当初遇到天使的时候，他很紧张，他以为哦糟糕，是不是他做错了什么事？因为祭司你们知道，祭司进去圣殿里面。 去烧香的时候都会绑一个铃在脚上，所以他们只要一做错什么事的时候，有可能在里面被神就击杀了，所以人家就会知道他们铃铛不动，代表他们死了，就把他们拉出来。所以撒加利亚就说他在里面的时候，他看到天使，他很紧张，想说是不是他做错什么事，所以天使要来跟他说什么话，他很怕，他想说他可能要死了。但是其实天使是告诉他一个好消息，就是说他要有一个儿子叫约翰。 然后接着记者又问他说，那像你这么，你是个艺人，你这么熟读圣经，那你怎么还会就是吓到，然后最后也不相信说他真的要生一个儿子？那撒加利亚就说他虽然是读了很多圣经，但是有些时候还是把这些圣经的知识当成知识读下去，所以有些时候还是会有一些疑惑。Amen.
Now, we're going to come to a young person, younger than Zacharias, and her name is Mary. She's heard that her aunt, Aunt Elizabeth, is going to have a child in her old age. And some pretty amazing things happened to Mary. Mary, we welcome you today.
Thank you for having me.
And we want to ask you a few questions about your experience about giving birth to the God-man Jesus. Tell us, how did you feel when the angel told you that you were going to have a baby?
I was very surprised. I asked the angel how this was going to be because I was a virgin, and so as you all know, virgins don't have babies.
Right, that's right. Well now, what's your relationship with Joseph?
Well, we were engaged, so we weren't fully married yet, but back in the day, an engagement is considered like a marriage.
So it would have been a major shame if you had been found to be with child before you got married.
Yes, it would have been.
What would have happened to you?
If Joseph wanted to, he could have kind of publicly announced it, and I could have been punished and stoned and possibly have died for what I made.
Yes, in Deuteronomy, it says that in the law of Moses, that So you must have been terribly frightened.
I was at the moment, yes.
What helped you get through those tough times? That you were told by an angel that you were pregnant, you were engaged to be married, you were away from Joseph. What helped you make it through those times?
I definitely think it's my relationship with God. His word, his promises always are true. And so when he, sent the angel to tell me, he said that, nothing is impossible with God, and that my aunt Elizabeth is actually having a baby. And so that also encouraged me as well. So when I went to go see her right away, and she knew exactly what was the situation with me, and that I was going to give birth to our God. And so that encouraged me as well, because that really confirmed God's word.
Did people talk about you?
I think they did. Probably not, to my face all the time, but I could see them whispering, as I walked by.
What was Joseph like when he found out the news?
He didn't believe at first when I went to tell him. And so I was a little bit nervous or scared about what would happen, that maybe at that point, maybe I would have to raise Jesus by myself. But of course, the angel visited Joseph and told him that the baby was to be born of the Holy Spirit. So then he believed, and so we got married.
Mary, now you've heard Zacharias, and Zacharias didn't believe and he doubted, and God punished him, but that didn't happen to you. You asked the angel a question, but it wasn't a question of doubt. Tell us about the question that you asked the angel.
Well, I mean, I asked him, how is this going to be? I didn't doubt that God could perform a miracle. So when the angel explained that it was to be the Holy Spirit, that this was going to be God's son, I believed. And, I've also, heard in the scriptures that this was prophesied. So I didn't doubt that it was possible.
We're going to ask you about the song that you sang in just a moment. But it's interesting, isn't it, that we have old Zacharias, who is a priest, and he doubts. You have young Mary, who is maybe 16 years old, maybe 17, no more than 17. And she's been told, and she believes. For the angel says to her, "For nothing shall be impossible with God." When you heard these things, you sang a song. Tell us about the song that you sang. We call it the Magnificat of Mary. Tell us about that song.
Well, when I sang it, I didn't realize it would be, such a big deal and be written in the Bible. But it was when I went to go see Elizabeth, and, she was telling me that I was going to be blessed and that everything that God said to me was going to come to pass. And so I was just overjoyed and humbled by how God chose me, a lowly, young girl at the time. And I didn't have any status or anything. And I just felt, God really showed me favor. And I was just overjoyed with praising God. So I was just using words from, the Old Testament that I knew. And I was just praising God with this song.
How did you learn the Old Testament as a young teenager? How did you learn the Bible?
I memorized the scriptures.
Yes. In the song that Mary sang, it's called the Magnificat, I think there are over three direct Old Testament references and several allusions to Old Testament. You called this child God, and you said you needed a Savior. Do you need a Savior, Mary?
Yes, I do.
Why do you need a Savior?
Because I'm human, and I was born with sin, and so all of us need a Savior.
Thank you so much for coming on this Christmas to EBCC in Teaneck, New Jersey. We appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Go ahead.
Okay, 所以刚刚, 记者又问玛利亚说, 当时你的感受是什么? 因为她说玛利亚生耶稣的时候大概才17岁, 16岁左右, 那玛利亚就说, 其实是很惊讶, 很紧张的, 当时天使问她跟她说, 哦, 你要生耶稣, 然后你的儿子出来, 将来是要做犹太人的王, 那接着记者又问他说，那你那时候感觉是怎么样？他就说当时也觉得说怎么可能，但是他像撒加利亚也是遇到在圣殿里遇到了天使跟他说他要有一个儿子，那玛利亚也是一个天使显现说你要有一个儿子，那他就问他说那为什么像撒加利亚那时候就说哦有点怀疑，所以神就让他在约翰出生之前都不能说话，当作是一个惩罚，那为什么玛利亚也天使就没有给他这样的惩罚？那玛利亚就说因为他心里面有神的话，他因为有个单纯的心就相信信靠神，然后相信天使说的话，而且他也熟读了旧约的圣经，然后把很多都背起来，所以知道说这样的事的确是在旧约当中是被预言的，所以他只有问天使一个问题，就是问说我没有出嫁怎么有这个事，他不是怀疑说圣灵能够行这样的神迹，他只是说怎么可能会有这样的事情，所以当天使跟他解释之后，他就知道说哦，那就愿这个事成就在我的身上。那之后他又问到了关于玛利亚的颂歌的事情，那记者也问玛利亚说那你是怎么样可以度过这样子的一个不容易的时候，因为很多人当时都会说他可能说他闲话，说你怎么一个人还没有出嫁，明明是已经订婚了但是还没有迎娶然后就怀孕了，人家可能会说他闲话，然后可能看不起他，那如果被人家发现的话其实人家都可以说他不检点，那约瑟也可以把他就是休掉了，因为还没有迎娶就发生这样的事情，那但是他因为心里有神的话，然后他也知道神的应许告诉他说哦，将来他旧约的地方有讲说将来有一个人有一个弥赛亚要从童女而生怎么怎么样，所以就是这样他心里有力量，所以他颂歌的地方他甚至截取了三处以上的旧约的经文，就是因为他都背在头脑里，然后他因为太喜乐了知道神有这样的事情在他的身上，所以他就把旧约的很多的经文然后放在他的一个祷告一个颂词当中。
Thank you very much. I agree with what she said. Now, we said that Mary is about 16 years of age, and she was engaged, or betrothed, to a young man by the name of Joseph. And we have someone who's done a report and some background, and he's our commentator, with a deep, rich background in the studies of Joseph. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
We're glad you've done your research on Joseph.
Yeah.
All right, you might want to hold the microphone.
Yeah.
All right. Tell us what you know about Joseph.
Well, Joseph is obviously Jewish. He's from Israel, and he's a carpenter, which meant that he probably worked for the Romans at the time when the Romans took over Israel.
Was he building that place by Nazareth?
Yes, absolutely. That place.
Building that Roman garrison,
yeah.
Right?
And then he is also a descendant of King David.
Oh, so he's royalty, nobility.
Yes. But at that time, the Romans took over, so he's not king.
But so if he had a child...
The child would also be a royal line, a descendant of David.
Very interesting. That's a good find. That's a good find. Now, tell us, what kind of guy was he? Was he a party guy, or was he a serious man about God?
Well, Joseph was more of a righteous man. In the Bible, it says that he was a righteous man and did not want to expose Mary to the public disgrace because he found out that Mary had a son, which meant that he could probably tell the Pharisees, and then he would actually be the first one to stone Mary, most likely. But he didn't want to do that because he was a very righteous man. So he just wanted to divorce her secretly.
That's a very interesting point, is that you're right. If the priest had decided that Mary had been unfaithful, that she would be stoned and you would have thrown the first stone.
But not me, Joseph.
I'm sorry, I got mixed up here. All right, Joseph would have thrown the first stone.
Yeah.
You're right, very, very good. Tell me something else. We know that he's religious, but what do you think his personality was like?
He was a carpenter, which meant that he probably wasn't so like boasty and show off about his religious belief like the Pharisees. he was engaged to Mary. He knew the law, so he probably followed God's law very well. So he was probably a pleasant guy.
You think he was rich in your studies? Did you think he was rich?
No. He was just a carpenter, just like an everyday person.
Sort of a day laborer. It's different than in as we think about the whole Christmas story. There's some rich people, the Pharisees, Herod, the Magi, but Joseph would have been a poor day laborer, certainly not a wealthy man.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me ask you another question. Did Joseph have a Bible? Did he have a, I notice you have a Bible. Do you think Joseph had a Bible? What was the source of Joseph's word from God?
He probably went to the temple like every other Jewish person back then. He probably, when he was young, he probably memorized the law, so he knew the laws of God and what God told Moses.
And what did the angel tell Joseph in your studies?
Well, the angels told Joseph that Mary was going to have a son and that he had to take care of her and bring her everywhere. And he also warned Joseph about Herod wanted to kill Jesus and told him to go to Egypt too.
Interesting. He had three angels came to him three times, didn't they?
Yeah.
So he came and he stayed with Mary. And then why did he take her to Bethlehem? We can't figure that out.
Well, at the time, the Roman government, they wanted to like, count the, they wanted to have a census.
Right.
So then Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because that was where his fathers were from.
And his wife was pregnant at the time.
Yes, so it was probably a difficult journey.
He stayed with some friends or relatives?
No, he actually couldn't find anywhere to stay. So he went to someone, just went to like a barn to stay there for the night.
Interesting. In your research though, he was going back to his hometown, is that right?
Yeah.
And it would seem like there would be other relatives back in his hometown, right?
You would think so.
But they had no place to stay?
Nope. Nowhere.
Do you think Mary, or in your research, do you think it was because the relatives didn't believe Mary's story and they didn't want to have anything to do with her?
I mean, probably. I mean, imagine if nowadays, if we saw a couple that were about to be married, but then the wife got pregnant, and now they're saying that God made the wife pregnant. I mean, you wouldn't really believe them. You'd be like, oh, go away. I don't want to talk to you. What kind of person are you?
Wow, that's good. That's good insight. So I'm sure they knocked on Uncle Amos's door, and they knocked on Uncle Hezekiah's door, and they went to see Aunt Sarah, and they said, oh, you, and they just slammed the door. There was no place for them to stay with relatives, so she had to stay in a barn. Is that right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, thank you. Tell me something. How did he show his faith? How did he show his faith? Just the last question.
He showed his faith in many ways. Like when the angels told Joseph to go to Egypt in the middle of the night, Joseph got up and just went to Egypt. He wasn't like Jonah. When Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, Jonah ran away from God. But not Joseph. Joseph just went to Egypt. And also, for us, it seems like, oh, if an angel came to me today, I'd be like, of course, an angel's here. But that's actually not the case, because Jesus said that if someone from the dead came to us today, we would probably not believe him. He said that in the parable with Lazarus and the rich man. Do you know that story?
Yes, I do.
Should I give a brief summary about it?
Yes, I would like you to do that. Explain this to our audience.
So, I'll explain this. Okay, so Jesus was telling a story how Lazarus was a poor man and there was also a rich man.
Right.
Lazarus was so poor that he had no money, the dogs were with him all the time, and the rich man lived a very comfortable life. So what happened? Lazarus died and so did the rich man. Lazarus went to God in heaven and he was living with God and he was very happy when he was dead. The rich man, however, went to hell and he was suffering in hell. And the rich man told God, said, hey, I have five brothers. Can you go send Lazarus from the dead to warn them about hell? But then God said, no. Yet they had the prophets. Why didn't they believe the prophets? And then the rich man said, well, if you send Lazarus, who's dead already, they're definitely going to believe him.
Right.
But God said, no, they will not believe him. If they do not believe the prophets, why would they believe someone that came from the dead? So translate that to us today.
Right.
So if someone came from the dead, would we believe him? We think we would. But God said in that story that we would probably not believe him. So it actually takes a lot of faith for Joseph to just get up and leave because of a dream.
Well, that's very good. That's good insight. And we appreciate your research on this. I think you've got great promise as a biblical scholar.
Maybe.
All right. Thank you very much for your report on Joseph.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
他不是约瑟，他是研究约瑟的学者，然后他就是，记者问他说，也是当时的情况，然后就问说，那约瑟是个怎么样的人？所以从圣经上来讲，他说约瑟是一个义人，因为在马太福音里面当中讲到说，他知道玛利亚有身孕这个事情，那他就想说。 因为他是个义人，所以他不要明明的羞辱他，他想要就暗暗的把他休掉。那结果后来天使也是向他显现，天使其实向约瑟总共显现了三次，然后在显现之后，所以约瑟就也相信了。那约瑟也是个玛利亚一样，是个熟读旧约经文的人。那他们他读旧约经文的方式，可能就是像其他的一般的犹太人一样，就是常常上圣殿里面去阅读经文。 那关于他也问了关于约瑟那个梦的事情，就是他在梦里，他们先到伯利恒，然后做了人口普查，然后那时候玛利亚已经有很重的身孕了。那最后他们为什么他就问他说，那为什么当时耶稣会在那个马槽里面出生？那是不是除了可能旅馆都满了以外，还有没有什么别的原因？ 那有没有可能是因为你那些亲戚或是人家知道你们就是还没有结婚就怀孕这个事情，所以人家觉得你们很丢脸，所以就不给你位子什么的？那这个学者就说有可能是这样的原因。那然后，所以他们就在马槽里，耶稣就出生了。那接着后来天使也在梦里面。 跟约瑟讲，叫他去埃及，因为希律王要杀耶稣。那接着就问他说：“那那个梦，那你怎么信心这么大？一有梦你就相信？”那约瑟就讲说：“像是拉撒路跟财主的故事，就说以那个故事来跟梦里天使跟约瑟显现来讲，那约瑟真的是很大的信心，因为。” 像拉撒路财主，他们大家都知道他们的故事。那最后，财主就说：“那拉撒路，因为他们两个最后死了，那财主是到地狱里面去，拉撒路反而到了亚伯拉罕的怀里，在天堂里面。那财主看见他就说：‘你能不能叫拉撒路死里复活？然后你去告诉我的亲戚说，真的有地狱这些事情，所以你叫他们要信主，叫他们不要来。’那财主，那拉撒路就亚伯拉罕就说：‘他说你们的亲戚朋友有。” 经文有摩西的律法可以告诉他们说要信主，那如果他们摩西的律法都不信的话，那就算我叫拉撒路死而复活，他们也不会相信。所以你就可以看到说，人真的很容易就不相信。那因为约瑟他熟读经文，所以他在梦里神叫他怎么做，他就相信了。
Thank you very much. Thank you. So we have seen that God, after 400 years of silence, from the end of Malachi to Matthew chapter 1, is 400 years. No prophet had spoken. There had been no voice of God in Israel. And all of a sudden, he comes to Zacharias and Elizabeth and announces that they will give birth to a child. Jesus said that child was the best man that was ever born of woman in all the world. Then the angels come to Mary and to Joseph and announce that Mary will give birth to the Messiah, to a son, virgin birth, without the benefit of a man. The virgin birth is crucial to our faith because we need a Savior who has a body, who can die on the cross and take our sins. We do not worship a phantom. We worship a God-man. And so it's important to have Mary and Joseph. But the night of the birth, some amazing things happen. And we're going to meet one of the young shepherds who was out in the fields. But first, I think you might want to summarize. Do you want to summarize just a little bit?
所以到马拉基书到马太福音这个中间有400多年的时间神都一句话都没说但是一刚开始说话的时候就是马太福音就是这个地方他对撒加利亚对玛利亚显现说他们要怀孕然后玛利亚要神耶稣然后撒加利亚要神约翰那我们现在要来访问牧羊人就是当时在神耶稣的那个晚上发生了很奇妙的事情
So Hello, Mr. Shepherd.
Hello.
And what is your name?
I'm not actually a shepherd. I just do research.
Oh, you're a reporter too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know what? It's working. All right, now, tell us about the shepherds, Zena.
So these shepherds, they're just tending the sheep on the night when Jesus was born.
Right.
And then suddenly an angel of the Lord, well, actually a bunch of angels, came down the sky and told them that Jesus was born and that they should go immediately and praise him and worship him.
Now, did you, in your research, did you discover that the shepherds were frightened?
Well, they were a little frightened at first, but then later they were joyful because they knew that the Messiah was born.
One of the things that's interesting is that whenever the angel appears to Zacharias, to Joseph, to Mary, to the shepherds, everyone's afraid when the angels appear. So tell us what you learned about these shepherds.
Well, after the angels came, they just got up and immediately went to the manger where Jesus was being born, and they praised him and worshipped him.
And they went to Bethlehem and they worshipped Jesus Christ, right? Tell us about the shepherds and how there's an interesting connection between the shepherds and Jesus.
Well, we all know what shepherds do at their job. They tend the lambs. Well, Jesus was kind of the shepherd of us. He tended us. And since shepherds take care of the lamb, Jesus takes care of us.
And I think we were discussing that Jesus is such a good shepherd. He's called the great shepherd. What happens if he loses a sheep?
Well, he would make it his life's work to go and bring back that sheep to his flock.
Really?
Yep.
Even if there was like one sheep he would go looking for?
Yeah, one out of a million, yes.
Wow, that's an amazing picture. Well, thank you for your work. Is there anything else that you found in your research?
Yes, he mentions a parable of a shepherd who's tending his 100 sheep.
Right.
But one sheep who's wayward escapes the flock and runs away.
Yes.
But then he spends the whole day trying to find that one sheep. And when he finds the sheep, he's overjoyed.
Yes, as we were comparing notes, we also found out that these shepherds are just outside of Bethlehem. They are watching sheep that may have been used for sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem, about 7 miles away. And so these shepherds, now tell me something, in your research, are they wealthy men?
No.
They're poor, right?
They make less than carpenter.
Yeah, okay. And are they in the Jewish times, are they ceremonially clean or are they unclean?
They're unclean.
Yeah, they're unclean. Yes, because they're around animals all the time. Well, thank you very much for your report. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. 那现在Ina是研究牧羊人的学者。那记者就问他说当时的状况，然后问他大概做什么事。那大家都知道牧羊人是牧羊的。然后他就说当时的晚上他在伯利恒的野里在牧羊，然后 就有很多的天使向他显现，就说：“哦，有个弥赛亚要生了。”所以他们刚开始有一点害怕，但是他们之后就很大喜乐，因为他们知道说：“哦，弥赛亚要生了。”然后他们就到耶稣出生的地方去敬拜耶稣。那大家都会发现说，不管是撒加利亚还是玛利亚还是约瑟还是牧羊人，每当天使向他们显现的时候，他们第一个直觉的反应就是很害怕。那还有问的说， 关于牧羊人这个职分，他大家都知道牧羊人是牧羊的。那 研究牧羊人的学者也讲到说，其实也就很像是牧羊人就很像是在比喻耶稣一样，因为耶稣也说他是我们的牧羊人，他是好牧人，然后他为他的羊舍命。那当中耶稣也在新约的地方有提到过一个比喻的故事，就是说有一个牧羊人，他有100只羊，那只要是一只羊走失了，他都会去找那一只羊，而且不管花多久时间把它找回来了之后就很开心，然后很喜乐。
Thank you very much. Well, after Jesus was born, about 8 days later, they brought the baby to Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, we go from the young people to some old people. Anna, we're glad that you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Anna, just how old are you?
That's a very rude question, young man.
Well, that's all right. If you don't tell us, we can find out. We've got good reporters up here.
I'll give you a hint. I've been widowed for 84 years.
84 years. 84 years. Zacharias was old. Anna is old. I am old. Now, what do you do with your time, Anna?
Well, I come to the temple day and night, feast and pray.
You're in the temple day and night?
Yes, this is my home.
And what do you do?
Just praying and fasting.
What are you praying for?
I'm praying for the Redeemer, for the Jerusalem. I'm praying for the people.
The Redeemer, Redeemer of Israel?
Yes.
Israel doesn't have a Redeemer?
We're waiting.
You're waiting. What happened? You saw this young couple. Tell us what happened.
I saw them, and I know because Holy Spirit told me that they're holding the baby Jesus, our Savior.
So the Holy Spirit told you to go to this couple,
yep,
because they had the Redeemer.
Yes.
Tell me, in some of our research, we found out there was a man by the name of Simeon. Who is Simeon?
Simeon, oh, he's another old fellow, come to the temple all the time, also praying.
Wow, that's all they do is pray.
Yeah, but not as much as I am.
And the Bible calls you a righteous woman, and Simeon is a righteous and just man.
Yes.
Well, we're thankful that you came and that you gave one of the earliest praises right after the shepherds, that you had met the Redeemer of Israel. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I just want to thank God to give me this, rewarded me that in my old age, let me welcome the baby Jesus, the first group of people.
We're glad you could be here. We're going to ask some of these younger people to help you and Zacharias down the steps because we don't want anything bad to happen. Go ahead.
Okay, 接着木兰阿姨是扮演亚拿女先知。那记者就问他说，也是关于他平常做什么事。那他是一个女先知，他年纪已经老迈了，他已经寡居了84年了。那他从一直都是一直留在圣殿，因为他觉得圣殿是他的家，所以他在那里昼夜禁食的祷告。那祷告什么呢？就是祷告盼望以色列救赎以色列的救主能够赶快来。那他也问说，那关于西面的事情，西面是另外一个，也是一个老年人，也是一个年长的人。然后西面呢，他也是一个艺人。他说，亚拿是一个近前的女艺人，那西面是近前的男的艺人。那西面也是在圣殿里面，也是常常的，也是在祷告，也是盼望救赎以色列的那一位能够来。那怎么知道？那当玛利亚跟约瑟第八天满带着耶稣到圣殿里面行歌礼，然后奉献给神的时候，那他就问说，那你怎么知道这个就是耶稣？那亚拿说，因为圣灵告诉他说，现在来的这一位夫妻就是耶稣的父母，然后抱着就是耶稣。所以他等到牧羊人先是敬拜了耶稣之后，到了圣殿，那就是亚拿是第二，然后大概西面亚拿是第二、第三位前面的人来敬拜、称谢、赞美主，然后敬拜耶稣的人。
I'd like to thank our interviewers and our first person interpreters. Would you please give them applause? Please, thank you very much. I personally think that as a congregation, you should be very pleased with your future.
我个人实在真诚地认为，在我们中间有这样的将来的这年轻的一代，我们应该很引以为荣。
There was some good work that was done up here in preparation for these interviews and first-person interpretations.
他们为了今天的这一个好像访问的这一个做了许多的准备。
And there were some good insights, and these people did all the work on their own.
而且他们自己都各自的在做研究的时候，他们自己都得到很多的帮助。
I had a friend who was an elder in a church in North Carolina, and he said this.
我有一个朋友，他在北卡，他这么说的。
Our future is behind us.
他说：“真的，我们这个我们的将来，is behind us. Our future is behind us.
Yes, and these young people are our future. They're younger than us, but they are our future.
就是这些年轻的人，他们就是我们的盼望。
You said all that in those short little words.
Make it
short. You know the story of the virgin birth of Jesus is a very important story for Christians.
耶稣这个是童女怀孕降生的这件事情，对基督徒来讲是非常重要的。
We cannot be truly understanding of the biblical doctrine of Jesus Christ without understanding and accepting the virgin birth.
在我们如果不真的来接受耶稣是童女怀孕生子的话，我们对于圣经的许多的真理，我们就没办法明白。And
in the New Testament times, the birth of Jesus is a revolutionary event that our God is not a ghost, our God is not a phantom, our God has flesh and blood.
在新约里面启示耶稣他是一个婴孩道成肉身的，就是告诉我们，我们所信的神并不是一个幽灵，一个鬼魂。
And because God chose to present Jesus Christ through Mary, we have a Savior.
因为神他借着玛利亚能够把耶稣降生在世界上来说明我们。 是有需要一位救主。
There's some interesting facts for me in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ.
对于耶稣基督的降生，对我来讲有几点非常有意思的提醒。
There are a lot of young people involved, and there are a lot of old people involved.
在他的降生的事上，有许多年轻的，也有许多老人，也都在内。
Certainly, Joseph and Mary were young people by any definition.
当然，约瑟跟玛利亚他们是年轻人。
And certainly we know that Zacharias, Elizabeth,
我们知道以利沙白跟那个撒加利亚他们是年长的。
And Anna and Simeon are old people.
哈拿跟西面他们都是老人。
Isn't that great that when Jesus comes, he comes to the young and the old? The person of Christ is not just for kids, and it's not just for old people.
所以耶稣降生的时候，像年长者也像年轻的人显现，表明他并不只是老年人的主或者年轻人的主。But
it's also interesting that the different responses to the coming of Jesus.
而我们也看到了有许多的不同的，对于耶稣降生的时候也发生不同的事。
Some people came, as we heard about the shepherds, some people came immediately and worshipped
Jesus Christ.
就像他当时看那些牧羊人，他们马上的就向着耶稣基督来敬拜。
Anna and Simeon, when they heard about Jesus, they worshipped and they glorified God.
当西面跟亚拿他们一看到耶稣的时候，他们当场他们就敬拜他。
But there's 6 miles to go to hell.
Go to
hell.
6 miles to go to hell.
Hell.
I don't understand, please. Yeah.
There's 6 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem.
从耶路撒冷到伯利恒有六里路。
Because there are 3 groups of people who refused to worship.
但是这里面却有三个组的人，他们却拒绝来敬拜耶稣。
That's the distance that they would not travel.
所以这就是他们连着六里路他们都不肯走。
Herod was a madman.
希律王他是一个非常生气的。
He had power, he had gold, he was an Olympic athlete.
他有权势，他有金钱。
He was paranoid.
他是被搅扰。
He had killed 2 of his wives.
他曾经杀死他两个前任的妻子。
He had murdered 3 of his sons because they wanted the throne.
他也自己亲手杀了他三个儿子，因为他认为他们要篡他的位。
In fact, when Herod was getting ready to die, he wanted people to feel sorry for him and to weep when he died.
所以当那个时候，希律已经快死了，可是他也还希望所有的人都能够为他的死来哀哭。
And he had made arrangements for Jewish leaders to be put into Jericho, and the moment that his death was announced, he wanted those people killed.
而且他甚至说，当他死的时候，有些人必须要在耶利哥被杀。
And he figured that when these Jewish leaders were killed, everyone would weep. And therefore, weeping for the Jewish leaders, they would be weeping for him.
所以当他想说，当他杀死这些犹太人领袖的时候，很多人会为他们哀哭的时候，也就好像替为他哭一样。
And when Jesus came into the world, Herod was frightened because Jesus would change his status.
所以希律王非常的担心，因为耶稣来的时候就会把他目前的情况完全的改变。
And sometimes when Jesus comes into our world,
很多的时候当耶稣基督进到了我们的世界里，
we get frightened too.
我们也会害怕。
Because he wants to be Lord. He wants to be king, not me, King David or King Herod, but he wants to be king in my life.
因为当耶稣进到我们心中的时候，他就是要做王，我不再是我自己做王。
And Herod tried to kill Jesus. And oftentimes, when Jesus comes into our life, we try to kill him. We try to put him away.
所以正像希律王，他要一直要杀耶稣一样，当耶稣进到我们生命里面的时候，我们总是要拒绝他。
There's another group that was 6 miles from Bethlehem.
另外有一个组的一群人，他们也是离开耶路撒冷，离开伯利恒是六里路。
And this group, I kind of identify with.
我也觉得我好像跟这一群人认同。
These are the biblical scholars, the Pharisees, the people who knew the word.
这一群人呢，就是那些法利赛人，还有圣经的学者，他们认识圣经。
And Herod called for them and said, "Tell me where Jesus is born, where he's supposed to be born, that I may go worship him."
当希律王召集他们来问他们说，你们告诉我到底耶稣生在什么地方，我好去拜他。
And like so many of our kids and so many of us, we can answer the questions right.
对着我们的很多的孩子，我们可能可以回答圣经问题都很准确。
It's fun teaching the English ministry because sometimes if I ask a question, they will immediately pull out their cell phones and they'll get the answer on Google.
我觉得我在上面服侍这些年轻人很有意思，因为我有时候问问题的时候，他们就在他们的手机上面马上就在上面查询 Google。
In fact, in universities, they're called Google scholars or Wikipedia scholars.
也有很多的人，他们是在谷歌上面那个成为谷歌的学者，很熟练。
And the Pharisees pulled out their little phones and their iPads, and they said, "Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem."
所以当法这些法利赛人他们很快的查的时候，他们说耶稣要降生在伯利恒。
That's a right answer.
答案是对的。
Now, if you're a scholar, if you've been to seminary and you studied the Old Testament scriptures,
有许多的圣经学者，他们进入神学院，他们很懂圣经。
And somebody has told you that they've come to worship Jesus.
当有人告诉他说我们要来敬拜耶稣。
Don't you think that you would move the 6 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem?
你想你会愿意从耶路撒冷到伯利恒走这六里路吗？
6 miles to get to heaven, 6 miles to see this Redeemer.
只要走六里路，你就可以见到这个救世主，而且就可以碰到天堂。
The Pharisees never left Jerusalem.
可是这些法利赛人，他们却不愿意离开耶路撒冷。
It's funny that sometimes that, just like Gerald was talking about Zechariah, that we can follow, we can study, but then when God interrupts our lives, when God interrupts our studies, we don't want to move.
就像刚刚 Gerald 说的，当神他来搅动我们的生活的时候，我们不愿意往前走。
There's a song that Caucasians sing.
有一些我们有一首歌是白人们常唱的。
It's an old hymn.
是一首老歌。
It's called I Shall Not Be Moved.
那说我从不动摇。
It's talking about being based on good theological bedrock.
这个歌的意思是讲说 是根据一个很正确的一个神学的观念。
But sometimes that song means I shall not be moved, and that is I'm not going to change.
但是很多的时候，这个说我从来不用动摇这一句话也暗示着我不愿意被改变。
And these Pharisees were just like that. I will not change, and they never left Jerusalem.
而这个法利赛人就是这样说，我不会被改变，而我也不愿意离开耶路撒冷。
But the people who were moved were the Magi.
但是还有一群人，他们会移动的，他们就是这些博士们。
Now we're examining the wealthy people around the Nativity. Herod was certainly wealthy.
我们看到了那些非常有才识的人，他们就像希律王一样。
The Pharisees seem to be wealthy throughout the New Testament.
我们看到法利赛人，他们也是非常有钱的人。
And these Magi who traveled for months were wealthy people.
而我们看到这些博士们，他们是走了几个月。
And they came, and they came from perhaps Iraq or maybe Babylon in Iran.They traveled by camel. This was not an F-15 fighter. 15, 20 minutes. This was a long trip.
这些博士们他们是经过伊拉克，好像很远的，增加伊朗这么远的距离，他们花了几个月到了伯利恒。
And I believe that they had Daniel's prophecies, and Daniel prophesied about the coming of the Son of Man.And Daniel gave a chronology, and they knew that chronology as Babylonians.
他们相信他们都熟读但以理书，他们知道说但以理曾经讲过这个年代的时候，讲到了这个救世主的降生。
And we know that this area of civilization and culture, made careful studies of the stars and times and calendars, and they began the countdown to the coming of the Son of Man.
而我们知道有很多人他们研究星象学，还有从这些事情来，他们可以计算出时间到这个时候谁降生了。
And when they saw the star, they decided that they would leave and they would follow that star where it would lead them. They would take the trip to Jesus.
所以当他们看到那个星的时候，他们算了这个日子，他们就愿意跟随这只星去找耶稣。
And one of our young men said a couple of weeks ago, and it was a very profound observation, he said, it seems as if God rearranges the world to bring people to Bethlehem.
我们中间有年轻人几个礼拜以前，他说好像看起来是神在那里把整个世界动摇了，重新安排了，是为了把人带到伯利恒。
Rearrange Herod's world, rearrange the Pharisees' world, rearrange the Magi's world, rearrange Mary, Joseph's world, Elizabeth's world, so that they could come and worship Jesus.
他搅动了所有人的世界，包括希律王，包括法利赛人，包括玛利亚跟约瑟，使得他们都能够来敬拜耶稣。
And we don't preach and we don't teach. A gentle, sweet Jesus that just stays in a manger.
我们不做这样的教导说，耶稣是一个真正非常甜美的、可爱的睡在摇篮里面的一个婴孩。
He's the Savior of the world. He's the Lord of the universe. And He will rearrange this church's life, my life, your family's life, your educational future. He comes to change it all.
我们的教导耶稣他是一个救世主，他是我们的救主，他来是要搅动我们的生命，而且他要来掌管这个世界，掌管你我的生命。
My question to you in closing is, will you, what kind of person will you be this Christmas day?
我最后要问的问题就是，我们到底要成为怎么样的人，尤其在这个所谓的圣诞季节里。
You can answer all the questions from the Old Testament. You're perfectly in your knowledge and your biblical IQ, you're great.
但我们可以回答完全准确所有关于圣经的问题。
But you won't move.
但是如果你不改变。
Or maybe you're like Herod. You're just a little paranoid. You're afraid that Jesus is going to change your future, your major, the person you'd like to marry, where you'd live, and you don't want him in your life. And you try to kill him.
或者你对于这些，好像你害怕到底你将来要怎么样，你要跟谁结婚，又什么，你心里面非常的害怕，没有把握。
And my prayer for me.
我的祷告是,
and for you,
也是为你,
is that we would pray like Mary prayed.
我们能够像玛利亚那样的祷告,
be it done unto me, the bond servant of the Lord. I'm just a servant of the Lord. Do with me what you want.
愿意我就是你的仆人, 愿意你在我身上成就你的一切。
Let's pray.
让我们祷告。
Father, thank you for this time that we have to reflect on the coming of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
父神啊, 真的我们感谢你这段时间, 让我们可以重新再回思你在经过你的爱子耶稣基督在我们身上要做的事。
You move the entire universe.
你移动了, 转动了整个宇宙。
Roman governors,
整个罗马政府,
Jewish kings,
所有的犹太人的王,
angels, carpenters, you move them all.
所有的天使, 所有的木匠, 你全部都可以来变动他们。
Help us in 2011 to be on the move and to follow you.
求主你帮助我们在2012年的时候, 我们可以被你改变。
For some of us, this move may be a long trip like the Magi.
或者你在我们身上的改变, 可能有的时候是像那三个博士一样, 需要经过很长的路程。
For some, it's just a short trip like the shepherds.
在对很多人, 对有时候你的改变, 就像那个牧羊人一样, 只是那么近距离的。
But I pray that none of us would be like these leaders who did not leave Jerusalem.
我们的祷告是, 但愿我们没有一个人是像那些在耶路撒冷里面的领袖一样, 他们不愿意被改变。
6 miles. And they wouldn't even go see Jesus.
虽然只有短短的6里路, 可是他们却不愿意去见耶稣基督。
Forgive us, Lord, for those kinds of sins.
主啊, 求你赦免我们, 为着我们这样的罪。
I pray in the name of Jesus, amen.
我们祷告乃是奉主耶稣基督的圣名。
Amen.
Let us welcome first-time visitors to our church, brothers and sisters, families and friends. 让我们利用这个机会，欢迎第一次来到我们中间的弟兄姐妹、家人、朋友。 这里有一位, let us welcome 方友宝弟兄, 我们很多人都认识他的, Brother Fang from, many of us know Brother Fang. On my left-hand side, 左手边有没有第一次来的, 请你站起来介绍你贵姓住在哪里。